very thankful to be with you this morning, and some thoughts that have been placed upon my heart, and I'd like to present some thoughts for your consideration today. And we talk about, we sing about, we're moved about, and we talked about even this morning in our Sunday school, you know, about the presence of the Holy Spirit. And what does it mean to us? And what is that witness? And what is all? What does it all, you know, mean to us? And so on. And once again, I'd like to present some thoughts. And the thing is that it rather takes in, of course, the whole Scriptures. And about the presence of the Holy Spirit, you know, we can look at the many attributes about it. But I'm not going to commence to tell you I know all about it as far as all things about the Holy Spirit and how it reveals the mind of God and so on. And I don't think any man can be able to stand to tell all about it. And we look about it, like I said, its attributes and the things it's responsible for and responsible to and how it moves upon the children of men. But we'd like to look in those things so that we can be encouraged. And there's reasons that we do want to take a look at the way of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is expressed as the presence of the Lord being manifested to man. The Spirit of the Lord is being manifested to man. And this is the witness of the Father and the Son. Okay, even though that it is talked about as being one of the three in the Godhead, many talk about the oneness, yet the separateness of them in their duties and capabilities, if you will, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There are many attributes to the Holy Spirit, and I want to take to make mention as well is the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God the Father and of the Son, the Holy Spirit in other personage. But the witness of the Father and the Son, the Scriptures were made known through the Holy Spirit and the will of God. We need to know some of the characteristics, I believe, of the Holy Spirit so we may know its influence and benefits. And there's a reason that I've said what I've said. We need to know some of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit so we may know its influence and benefits. There's a very important thing to know that there's only one Holy Spirit. You must remember that because of the adversary and his legions, if you will, which we're going to read about. And where will the Holy Spirit lead you? What can we feel by it? How can we be led through it? How can we be directed? Knowing these things. And, you know, it's the same thing as there was the person that was looking at counterfeit money. Okay? And they said, what do you do in order to be able to spot the counterfeit? He says, not that you're looking, it's not that they don't see all the counterfeits, but the main thing is to study the genuine article. Study the genuine article. Or the money. That is, look at the original. And, you know, we're studying to know what the gospel of Christ is all about. And what does it mean in our lives? You know, what does the original, you know? And this in itself is a very good witness to why it is we believe in the restoration. You know, if it says in the book of Revelations that I saw another angel fly with the everlasting gospel, then what was there before the angel flew in order to restore that? in order to deliver that to those that dwell upon the earth. But to know the original. That's why it's so important about the restoration. To meet the very prophecy of Jesus Christ when he said in the last days that the gospel would be preached in all the world for a witness and then the end come. It would need to be the genuine article and the fullness of it in order to meet the letter of that prophecy. Otherwise, everything else is okay. We must be careful of these things. Let's take a look, if you will, over in 1 Corinthians in the second chapter. 1 Corinthians, second chapter. I would like to start at verse 9, basically. I don't believe we're going to read the whole chapter, but just a portion. But it is written, "The eye hath not seen, nor the ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." It is the very revealment of God himself. "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God being revealed. We have not received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." I'm going to end right there because there's a reason why I'm going to... But we'll be coming back here. The Holy Ghost teacheth and reveals. We're going to take a look at many things that... In Luke 8 and 30, also you'll find in Mark 5, 9, and Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" He's talking to that person that was possessed. Okay? And the young man said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. Okay? The devil's got, he's got helpers, got his spirits, if you will, that are out there making influence and possessing and doing whatever, wreaking havoc. And legions. That they were quoted that as far as a Roman legion, a garrison, well, however many soldiers that could be, and however many could have been within that person. Okay, there was a lot of them. Jesus asked him. He said there was a lot of them. There was many of them. Of course, Jesus cast them out. Of course, this is what actually got Jesus into trouble with some of those that were among those in the one country that had pigs and had spirits go off into the pigs, and the pigs ran violently off the side of the cliff among the Gadarenes, or the tribe of Dan, they say. And they were already disobeying the old law, because they were in the pig business, unless they were selling and not eating. Either way, but they were breaking law. So what I'm trying to tell you is there's one Holy Spirit, the one Holy Spirit that reveals the things of God, the truth of God, revealing also the Father and the Son, and also the gifts given unto men. And to learn and to know, which way will that Spirit move upon you? Where will it point you? Where will it direct you? What will it do for you? And what it wouldn't? Good to know. If we live in a day-to-day, in the latter day, when the devil's going about roaring as a lion, seeing who he may devour, kicking and screaming before he's going to be chained, and then rendered powerless for that thousand-year reign before he's released for that little season, that a lot of adverse spiritual mayhem is to come forth, to, as we come closer, like a crying child getting ready for punishment. And I believe that it has something to do with Isaiah 14, when we walk by that pit and see old Lucifer chained there and say, you know, that he's weakened because he's rendered powerless. And is this the man that did weaken the nations? Satan has many helpers, so it's important that we know our Lord and His Spirit. His Holy Spirit. We know that even if you take a look into the study of modern versions of the Scriptures today, you know, of the Bible, that there are many that have taken out the word holy before spirit. And there are some that have even reduced it to the word force, the force, which is not good. Why would you want to take out Holy Spirit when God is holy? Why would you want to do that? The man enters in and man has done his thing, and we know that the old devil wants to be, he's also tried to masquerade who he is in the Scriptures. In these modern versions. I have to qualify that. So let's take a look, if you will, over in Galatians in the 5th chapter. So we're going to begin looking at some of these attributes of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 and 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Those other things are going to carry you away. That those adverse feelings that are not of God. And if we're going to walk in the Spirit, and we want to know some of the attributes, some of the evidences, but in order for it to have fruit born, one must take care of the tree. We must take care of how it is that we can have and taste and or partake of that fruit. How are we going to get there? That we may be a taste of that fruit, and how that fruit may be born in us. And that it's good fruit. Not rotten fruit. Not fruit that's diseased, not healthy. If you've been around a tree that's not cared for, that they have sprouts that can grow up inside the tree. We call them water sprouts. Orchard men call them suckers. And you got to take those things out. If you don't take them out, what it does is it saps the juice from the tree, the life-bearing juice from the tree. Okay? In order for the juice or the life in that tree to come out into fruit-bearing limbs. We can call those maybe sins, bad works, things that are not profitable for our spiritual welfare and warfare in our lives. We've got to turn the suckers out of our life. And the more that we, once again, study the genuine article of the gospel, to know the truth, we may have the strength in doing those things. Sometimes they come pretty hard. I went to a tree. There's actually one that's right next to our house. I've taken care of that piece of land, even though it doesn't belong to me, but I have done it just out of my own energy and whatever the matter. But there's a tree right there, an old apple tree. That thing must be 100 and some years old. And you couldn't get underneath it with the mower. So I took at it to trim that tree. And there were some pretty big suckers in there that kind of grew up to kind of look like the other life-bearing limbs. So it would get the fruit, okay? And took over quite a bit of that tree. And some of it I had to take a chainsaw to clear it out. And then I had to put some pruning spray on it so it wouldn't become infected. Some of the things that we embrace in our lives take a lot of energy to get rid of in order that we may bear the fruit of the Spirit. Some pretty powerful things that's available out there in the world that, as the Scripture says, that I won't be brought under the power of any. All things are available, basically, to us out there, you know. But I won't choose not to be under the power of any. What Paul was talking about. The fruits of the Spirit, knowing those things. Ephesians. Look over in Ephesians and the fifth chapter. Ninth verse, please. And once again, now it talks about the things before. Verse, I'm going to read a couple of verses out of here and then skip a little bit. In the beginning, he says in the first verse, therefore, followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. And that's the only type of sacrifice, as far as the Father is concerned, that meant anything for the world, for salvation, for eternal redemption, the sweet smelling savor that the Father recognized. Now, I'd like to go on down that he was talking about people and things that you could do, filthiness, jesting, talking, whatever, that aren't spiritual. And he goes on to say, verse 7, be not therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as the children of light. And in order to do that, we need to know what the truth is and embrace the Holy Spirit of God. For verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And we were proving those things by embracing, reading, studying, praying over his loving gospel. And because we come across, we see and we hear and we walk among things every day, don't we? We need to make decisions every day for what we're going to do and not going to do. And the resolve that we have to either to stay away from things and also stay the course. So we're proving what is acceptable unto the Lord each day in our life by our spiritual decisions. Spiritual discernment and deciding. And we need that Holy Spirit. We need that precious Holy Spirit. The manifestation of the Father and of the Son in our lives every day. In order to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Of course, verse 11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We can be in a large group of people that are doing the wrong thing, but are called to be the light in that situation. We live in a day where the Holy Spirit's benefits are being denied, thus teaching a changing God. We were reading in our Sunday school this morning, weren't we, Ted, about that situation. They were denying the Holy Ghost and teaching a changeable God. We're looking at infant baptism. We see where that's being taught today. But the benefits being denied. Denying, we could talk about many types of gifts of the Lord that many don't accept today and think that, well, they were done away with the original church, with the original apostles and ministry. The benefits are being denied. Teaching and changing God. Malachi 3 and 6, we know that one. We don't have to go there. It says, I change not. Hebrews 13 and 8. I'm going to turn there. Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. How important is that? Very important. Moroni 8 and 9 and 19, page 770. I'd like to turn there, please. And there are reasons that I'm looking at each one of these that talk about our unchanging God, His unchanging doctrine, His unchanging spirit, His unchanging will, His unchanging decisions toward the children of men. For I know that God is not a partial God, neither a changeable being, but He is unchangeable from all eternity to all eternity. If He's, through His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, written the gospel, written the roadmap till the end of time, then we know He hasn't changed. And we know it's all going to be fulfilled. And it's going to play out just as He says it was. He knew the end of time. And He isn't going to vary from His course. And it has been fulfilled all up to now and will be into the future until the end of time. He's already written the end of the book. And how it will play out. But then we have choice on where we will take part in it. His ways, His gospel, His plan, the mission of Christ throughout the corners of the world, and who's out there participating in the work and this and that. Where are we going to be in all that? It'll still go on. And it will fulfill the letter of what He says is going to happen, even though He says His word, it will not return unto Him void, but it will accomplish the thing that He sent it forth to prosper. And where it's going to finish its circuit throughout the world and to whom? The decision is, where are we going to be in it? In that marvelous work. He's not a changeable being. 2 Nephi 1 and 65, page 82. Go with me to page 82. Chapter 1, verse 65, second book of Nephi. The Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ. He says, I am God, I change not. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Holy Spirit, the same yesterday, today, and forever. It will operate according to the will of the Father in all things. And no variance according to the Lord's righteousness, truth, and holiness, and justice. In the Book of Mormon, 4th chapter, page 710. Page 710. Verse 68. For do we not read that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and in Him there is no variables nor shadow of changing?
starting at verse 82, I'd like to go over to 82 and 83, talking of miracles and gifts and healings teaching and all these things which are spiritual. And I say unto you, he changeth not, and if so, he would cease to be God, and ceaseth not to be God, and is a God of miracles. He will not change. Who can change? We can. We can. And the reason why he ceaseth to do miracles among the children of men is because that they dwindle in unbelief and depart from the right way and know not the God in whom they should trust. We've got to be careful. So we're going to talk about condition, about being moved upon by the Holy Spirit. We're going to look at a condition, okay, and how we're responsible to it and for it. You know, when embracing and knowing and engaged in the gospel of Christ, there's no turning back. We're all in. And we're all in it together. And so, we're responsible to it. We're responsible for it. And we're responsible for that gospel even as well. We don't want to, you know, in Hebrews, after we started on that foundation, we accomplished that. We're to go on unto perfection. Going on. It's a pretty tall order, isn't it? It's a pretty tall order. 1 Nephi 3 and 27. Page 26. Page 26. Verse 27. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm wanting to bring these things up. There's plenty of scriptures to tell us that there's no variableness in him, nor shadow of changing. And I know that he's closer than the shadow of my turning. Closer than that. In other words, he's indwelling. 2 Nephi 12 and 62, page 157. 157. And this is talking about the Word of God coming forth in the latter days, and those that are saying that they don't need more of the Word of God and so on, and God cannot speak, and so on. And that's part of what I was telling you here a little, or mentioning here a little bit ago, about them denying attributes of the Holy Spirit and different things that it will do. One, manifesting the Word of God, and also teaching a change in God that he can't speak anymore. Where does it ever say that? Never. Never says that God would change or that he would not speak. And it talks about the books that will come forth according to his will and his pleasure. Verse 62. And I do this. He's talking about those of the two nations, those of the Bible, of the Book of Mormon. Talk about the stick of Joseph and the stick of Judah. And they were going to come together in the last days. And talk about nations in its literal fulfillment. But he does say it to write according to those tribes. And then he talks about he's going to take them whithersoever they have gone, and to bring them into their own nation, and there would be one Lord and God over them all. But he says that I do this that I may prove unto my many that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that I speak forth my words according to mine own pleasure. He proved that I am the same yesterday, today, forever, proving that he's able to bring his word forth. And then we're talking of, once again, the Book of Mormon coming along with the Bible. And because I have spoken one word, you cannot suppose I cannot speak another. For my work is not yet finished, neither shall be until the end of man, and neither from that time henceforth and forever. Bringing forth the word, I can speak according to my own will and pleasure, he says, because he is the same, and he will not change, and he can speak. page 151, over a couple of pages back. 2 Nephi 11 and 145. For behold, I am a God, and I am a God of miracles, and I will show unto the world that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I work not among the children of men, save it be according to their faith. He is the same, but man can change, and man can vacillate back and forth, and do things that are unpleasing in his sight, and take themselves out of a condition that the hand of the Lord is not moving upon them, or withdrawing from his hand of blessing even as well. And what I wanted to, why I wanted to bring this, what God wants us to know, that we may know that he is unchanging, that the Father is unchanging, the Son is unchanging, the Holy Spirit is unchanging, that we may know, that we and depend. We live in a day that when things are changing so much, and we talk to those in different organizations out there that are disheartened because of things changing within their organizations, because of what man has done. God has not changed, but man has changed. And morals and standards and doctrines, denying the gospel of Christ. Just like they were trying to straighten out back in Moroni's time, when that epistle from Mormon, talking about the infant baptism thing. Then, even then, but what about today? And where all we have went today. But we need to know and what to depend. We have two records that we may be able to depend upon, and that also tell us that God has not changed. And we may have the frailties of man here or there, I believe, in the Church of Christ. But I'm going to tell you what, that I like to tell people that what we practice, we find in the Scriptures. We don't practice what we don't find in the Scriptures. And we can show where we practice it. Moroni 10, 11 through 14, this is on page 776. And he's talking about miracles once again, that he may work mighty miracles again to another, that he may prophesy concerning all things. And again to another, the beholding of angels, ministering spirits, and again to another, all kinds of tongues, and again to another, the interpretation of languages and divers kind of tongues. And all these gifts come by the Spirit of Christ. And they'll come according, every man severally, according as he will. God will. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that every good gift cometh of Christ. I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away, even according to the as long as the word shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men. Again, he will always be the same. But only according to unbelief will they not be manifested among the children of men. There is the spirit of the adversary. And we must be careful and on point. It says, he walketh about roaring as a lion, seeking whom he may devour. John 8 and 44 says that Jesus speaking of the hierarchy at that time, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father will ye do. He's talking of Satan, talking of Lucifer. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Once again, talking of old Lucifer and what he will do and in order to connive, in order to persuade, and to take people off into dark and forbidden paths. How necessary is it that we are guided, directed, we may discern good from evil? How necessary? Absolutely. He's a deceiver and will lead you away from Christ and the Father. So we've got to be careful. Once again, we must be on point. If it weren't that important, why would Ephesians 6 talk about putting on the gospel of Christ as armor if it weren't that important? So be careful of the deception. Untruths, embracing untruths, accepting these untruths. How important is that when they talked about, even at Moroni's time, the Epistle of Mormon, that doctrine at that time was an abominable thing. First John 2 and 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist and denieth the Father and the Son. And there are many ways that that influence would have you to deny him, or to deny his gospel, his commandments, things that are true, or not be in a condition that we may receive of his Holy Spirit. It's important. The sacrament prayer, it says that we may have his Spirit to be with us, because we're engaged in the gospel of Christ to that condition, to be able to take the sacrament and to be moved upon by that Spirit. It's that type of condition that we are in, that humbled spirit. Ephesians 1, 6 through 14 is a very good scripture as well. Ephesians 1. I would like to take and to start basically on, let's start 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace through Jesus Christ, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Now these things, to receive these, we're of being moved upon by his Spirit, have made known unto us the mystery of his will. What's the mystery of his will? That we may be saved. We may be saved. But that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both are in heaven, which are in the earth, even in him, all of his children. All of those that are following him, all of those believing in him, all those that he has purposed and worthy to be with him. But that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Remember that. Entering in by the way, having that good conscience, as Peter talked about, entering in, having been baptized, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession. Purchased possession is you, unto the praise of his glory. It's the earnest of our inheritance. The inheritance when we come before him, to receive all the rest of our inheritance in his presence, when he says, "Enter in, thou good and faithful servant." The earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, where we are brought unto him once again as his child, embracing him embracing us, not shrinking away from him in shame, but in joyfulness. In that spirit of overcoming and of joy and a final true holiness and sanctification through him. But the earnest of our inheritance. I like the way he put that. the earnest of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit will only have you to walk in the path that leads you in the Father's commandments and unto eternal life. The Holy Spirit will not persuade you to do evil things or to step out of character. A lot of people say the ends justify the means, or how it means to get there, that we have to do something shady or lie about something or step out of character in order to get there. He will not take you away into a dark and forbidden path, but lead you in the Father's commandments and unto eternal life. We can depend upon it. Why? He said He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He will not only manifest that we do what is right in keeping His commandments. We can depend upon that. These things we need to watch to gauge that we may spiritually be able to understand and decide. John 14 and 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. I love how this is put is very important. And we will come unto him and make our abode. What is an abode? It's a dwelling place, isn't it? It's an abode where we will abide. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. There's a scripture that says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereunto you are sealed unto the day of redemption. It is placed upon you when you've entered in, by the way, you have been baptized, the outward witness of the inward conviction. We will make our abode with Him. How powerful, how wonderful a promise that is. The abode of God. But it makes us, there's a hinging responsibility on the abode that we have made and continually make, or to keep the house clean or thoroughly furnished with the good works of the gospel. And our condition of how the Spirit may be able to move. What kind of we're responsible to the attitude and the life that we live. Our condition of humility, responsibility. We find that man's wisdom versus God's given wisdom. There is a difference. 1 Corinthians 2 and 13, which things we speak not in the words which man wisdom teacheth, but the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Man's wisdom can lead off into other directions for other reasons in order to win out in different situations for temporal things. You've got to be careful about man's wisdom versus God's. And we're trying to learn what God's wisdom is all about, each of us. And there are parameters for how that we can receive God's wisdom. What kind of a condition, once again? 1 Corinthians 1 and 25. And this is where here we go. 1:25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after the flesh, but not many mighty, not many noble are called. And they're talking about unto salvation and hearing the calling of the Christian unto Jesus Christ. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, the things which are despised, God hath chosen, yea, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that what? No flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. As it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That's why He talks about in the Scriptures about reward in heaven. They all received that same penny at the end of the day. That why could there be any lifted up in any more pomp and any more circumstance in the kingdom of heaven? It would have to be an act of pride. It would have to be an act of a higher reward than somebody else. and it would have to be that that person would work upon work upon work. But through Jesus Christ, that we have lived the life that we should have to have heard those words, "Enter in, thou good and faithful servant," to have received eternal life. Why would you want more than eternal life? How could you want more but that to be in the presence of the Lord? Why would you want more? In 2 Nephi 6, in 84, page 111, "And save they shall cast these things away and consider themselves fools before God and come down in the depths of humility, He will not open unto them." They say that you really can't know true humor until you start laughing at yourself. I've got a lot of things in my life to laugh over, I think, and I try to find humor in that. So a merry heart doeth well like a medicine, and I was told by a brother in the church a long time ago that the Christians have more fun by accident than most people do on purpose. The type of humor that a Christian should use should not hurt anyone else. Our condition of a humbled spirit submitting to the direction of the Father is most important that we may receive or be moved by His Holy Spirit. Not according to our pride, haughty, or rebellious spirit, or anything that is lifted up in the pride of the world or so on, or self-serving, or covetousness, or whatever. These things are opposite, and they boast against God. But of a humbled spirit and in humility. As King Benjamin said, "We are but of the dust of the earth, and He is even lending us breath from one moment to the next." He said, we brought nothing into this world, and we will certainly take nothing out. But the one thing we do take out is the name of Jesus Christ. Or not, for some. In Alma 5 and 39, page 325, "And now I would that you should be humble and be submissive and gentle, easy to be entreated, full of patience and long-suffering, being temperate in all things, being diligent in keeping the commandments of God at all times." Submissive and gentle, easy to be entreated or easy to be satisfied. You know, it's just a temporal thing. But most people know that I have this thing for coffee. I like coffee. Okay? Not only do I like coffee, but many have made the assertion that they'll put a spoon in there and it'll either stand straight up or the bottom of it will get eaten off. How I make it. But when we were overseas, and I believe probably Nigeria, and you couldn't find a cup of coffee to save your life. Or if you did, you probably wouldn't want it. And I was very pleased to get back to the motel room and have a little packet of instant Folgers to heat up the water, make sure it was okay, and it'd come out of the bottle anyway, and to get that. And I was thinking of the Apostle Paul. He says, "I've learned in whatever state where I'm to be content, therewith to be content. I've learned to be full. I've learned to be hungry." Like I said, it was just a temporal thing, but easy to be entreated. Boy, I was easy to be entreated right then. But could that be with everything else in my life too? And I think the way that God thinks about those things, about our temporal possessions and this and that, could you turn your back on the things that you have and walk away? Could you walk away and still may have your faith? Could you walk away? Could you walk away from your house, your car, all those things, and still be okay and not be regretful? Laman and Lemuel were Lehi's boys, they were regretful, weren't they? They couldn't walk away from it. We left all of our precious things back there, our gold and our silver. What's wrong with you? And all such many things that they called their father. So evidently Lehi had some possessions. They couldn't turn away from it. Could we? It's an example, isn't it? It's something, you know? We may be called to make that sacrifice someday for those things. But the direction of the Spirit, Acts 16:6, that now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. There were certain reasons that they couldn't go and were told not to, at least at that time. But the Holy Spirit had manifested to them that they weren't. They were directed. We do see that in the church today. There has been many times, many testimonies that I've heard, and I like to hear these things, where they've been here and there in different situations in the world or wherever period of time, and they were told, you leave, or you don't go. And it meant their very life. I've heard examples from several people where the Spirit of the Lord had told them what to do or not to do. We've heard those, and I believe them. I like to hear those things. I like to hear those testimonies of God's power and goodness and mercy for His children. They're among those that are serving Him. Acts 13:2. And it's another manifestation of the Spirit. And they deny these sorts of gifts today in the modern day world. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Spiritual callings manifested through the Holy Spirit. I know they are true. I know they are true. I've been in those services. I've participated in those services. I know they are true. I know of one time I couldn't sit on a chair. I was lifted off that chair in order to be used to deliver a calling. I know that scripture is true. I know others have had those. My brother back there has had those experiences. He knows that they are true. You can't deny them. As manifested through the Holy Ghost, and we dare not deny them. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17, that you are the temple. Let's turn there for just a moment. So talking about that condition that we are to be in. Verses 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. We take a vigil in order to of purity, of internal purity. Either the things that we would partake of and not partake of. Okay? And we must be careful of things and how we would present ourselves to other people even as well. Do we present ourselves adorned with the world? How does this acknowledge the gospel of Christ and the Spirit that is moving within you? You see. 1 Corinthians 6. Verses 19-20. Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That our spirits must be coupled with His. His will prevailing over ours. We are not our own. We have given ourselves to Him. And if our temple is His dwelling place, we are His. We are His servants by choice. Jesus told His disciples that, "I call you therefore not servants, but friends." a good point to that, because we serve willingly. We call ourselves the servants of Jesus Christ because we serve willingly and by a choice. And we are bought with a price, the price of a precious lamb, as it is said, slain before the foundation of the world. 1 Corinthians 14 and 15. We're looking at the attributes. 14 and 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with understanding also. They were singing hymns, praises unto the Lord. The things contained in there that we agree with, and we sing with our brothers and sisters, but with the moving of the Spirit. These are praises to God. Praises to God. We were praying with understanding in the Spirit. It says that the Spirit itself helpeth our infirmities. We pray, we know not what at times. We don't know. And there are utterances that we're given to know how we ought to express our prayers. The Spirit of God is even helping in our prayers. Because our feelings, situations, we don't know how to express. But the Holy Spirit helping us with our infirmities, our placing of words, our lack of the right word to put, or whatever. But the Spirit helping in our prayers. 2 Peter 1 and 21, for the prophecy came not in time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost to give us even not only the prophecies to be delivered among the children of men, but the word of God itself in the Scriptures. Holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Nephi said when he was creating this record, I have created this record off to this other one to the side. After he knew about the plates that came from Jerusalem. But another record, he says, for what reasons? I know not. All he knows is that he was in the hands of the Almighty in creating, starting this record. That would be handed down from generation to generation and one holy man to another, that they may be kept and they may re-record those things which transpired and that were necessary for God's purposes in the latter day which we are today. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 says the natural man, which I didn't read, I remember I stopped there in 1 Corinthians 2, 14 and 13. But in the 14th verse says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man has not accepted nor agrees with the will of the Lord, but the gospel of Christ, because he still wants to operate out there in the world. He still wants those things that the world has to offer. And believes in the life and breath of today and tomorrow and the next day and depends upon that. And thinks he's going to go to a town and buy and sell there and get gain. But James says that the life is but a vapor. But if the Lord will, we would do this or do that. But the natural man can't receive it, can't know it. Not until we submit to the sovereignty of the Lord God Himself upon our soul and our life. Submit to His will and His sovereignty in our life. But Mosiah 1 and 120, page 218, our brother read this there last week. But if he yieldeth the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint to the atonement of Christ, the Lord becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child does submit to his father. Do we submit to our Lord in such a way? Do we yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit? Or do we put these things off? We would either do it another time, or it's not in good standing or in good company or whatever the matter to yield to the Spirit of the Lord. Or it's out of character or whatever. And remember, the strong man or the strong lady is the one that knows how to bow the knee before Jesus Christ and the Father in heartfelt prayer. That's the strong person. Where we find within with your Book of Mormon to read and to know and to accept, come unto Christ and be perfected in Him and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if you shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness and love God with all your mind, might, and strength, then is His grace sufficient for you, that by His grace you may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God you are perfect in Christ, you can nowise deny the power of God. And do not His omnipotence and His sovereignty in our life. In your Book of Mormon, to realize its truth and truths within it. When you shall receive these things, I would exhort you that you would ask God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if these things are not true. And if you shall ask with a sincere heart, real intent, having faith in Christ, He will manifest the truth of it unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, ye may know the truth of all things. Whatsoever thing is good, just, and true, nothing that is good denieth the Christ, but acknowledgeth that He is. That you may know that He is by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore I would exhort you that you deny not the power of God, for He worketh by power, according to the faith of the children of men, the same yesterday, tomorrow, and forever. We accept it. We say we believe it. Have you asked God sincerely? Have you taken Him at His promise and asked with a sincere heart if these things are not true? That's all things in it that have witnessed of Jesus Christ and the Father. Have you asked Him, are they true? He said, try me out. And see if these things are not true. Spiritual witness. It's not tempting God to ask if these things are not true. He said that you can, with a sincere heart, He will manifest these things by the Holy Ghost to know they are true. And we were reading this morning. First fruits of repentance is baptism. Baptism by faith unto the fulfilling of the commandments, and fulfilling the commandments bringeth remission of sins. The remission of sins bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart. You see what's having to be shed away in order to start to be in that condition? Taking out the suckers and the tricks, if you will. Bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart, and because of the meekness and lowliness of heart cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost, which comforter filleth with love and perfect love, with love endureth by diligence unto prayer, until the end shall come when all the saints shall dwell with God. That perfect love, that comforter, it fills with hope and strength and discernment, love. For sake of time, I'm going to just give you this scripture and I want you to take and read this today. 2 Nephi 14:1 through 4. And this is talking about the gospel of Christ on page 163. Okay? And what we should do after we've entered in, by the way. And then, of course, we could speak with the tongue of angels, and they speak the words of Christ. Galatians 5:16-17. That we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And we've looked at how we may walk in the Spirit, haven't we? He gives us the commandment to walk in the Spirit. We've looked at how that can be accomplished, that we can be moved upon. We need to be in that condition that the Spirit can move. We need to shed the worldly things that can cause a separation where the Holy Spirit cannot move. But the Holy Spirit should not be foreign to us, but found of us. We're not shy about letting it move. You know, that many, may think that they're, like I said, they're maybe out of character, out of place, or whatever. But in particular, these particular times of indecision or trouble or dilemma, there could be great peril if we were not listening. But being guided and moved to the gifts of God and the love of all mankind. And we see the way that the Spirit would direct and lead and teach. And so, once again, there are many such things in so many other areas of the Scriptures that we could go to that talk and declare about the Holy Spirit that is the manifestation of God in our lives, and to so many things.